public hearing, comment, and support, and we will try something a little tweak. I'm going to actually call out two numbers, names. First we'll speak, second name that I call, we have a chair down here, you can come down and sit, and then we can roll through the rest of these, perhaps a little quicker. For those online, once we are done with all of the individuals that I have papers on to speak, we will go to online in support, then we will go to in-person opposition, to online opposition, then in-person, neither for nor against, then to the online. So those online are familiar with the procedure we will be following. The next individual to speak in support will be Lily Morkin and George Bass. Please be ready. George Bass, you can come down to the chair and you will immediately follow.
Good morning. My name is Lily Morkin. I live at 2333 South Cedar Creek Road, right next to camp there, so I've been around a little bit. I have lived at CARE for the last 9 years. I was a camper for 7 years, staff for 3 years, and then this last summer I was on full-time summer staff. Cedar Creek has been a huge part of my life and just like the community that I've been a part of. I have seen so many kids impacted by what camp does for their lives. When kids come to camp, they are getting these experiences that they've never been able to have before, like rafting and mountain biking and just all of these things. I love at campfire night, which is like the end of the day thing where all of the cabins come and they hang out and they like tell stories and they talk about the Bible. The like leader of the campfire asks the kids, where did you see God today? And I always love hearing them just be like, oh, I saw God when I went rafting. I was really afraid, but I got through it, and now I'm so excited, and it was really amazing. And we're like ziplining. They were so afraid to go on the zipline, but when they did it, they had an amazing time, and I just love seeing how lives are changed at Kidder Creek. These kids come from places like in the city where they never see grass or stars, and at camp everything is on display for them to see, and just the trees and the pond. I love going and seeing kids be kids, because at home they're like on video games all day, or they're just sitting inside, not really being able to be kids. And when they come to camp, they are able to be outside, and they're able to be free and just have these experiences. The community at Cedar Creek for a staff member is incredible. For me as a teen, I always look forward to, after the school year, being able to go back to camp with my friends that I've made through the years and just backpack and raft and just have this incredible week at camp where I got to hang out and grow my relationship for my faith and just grow my relationship with my friends. It has always been really informational for me and also for the people that I'm surrounded with. I've really seen Kidder's heart through how they've treated the community through the years, how they really want to bring in kids from the surrounding areas, and how they treat the laws that are set in place, and how they have really gone forward with an acceptance and a perseverance to follow and abide by what you guys have set forth. So I'm here to support Kidder Creek, and thank you.
Georgie Bass, followed by Tony Lynn Downey.
Good morning. I'm Georgie Bass. I live at 615 Meadow Avenue in Mount Shasta, California, and I'm here to share full support of the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp Zone Change on behalf of myself and my husband, Jacob Bass. Over our combined 6 summers working on staff at Kidder and subsequent 4 years working alongside them in the community, my husband and I have seen a tremendous amount of good in the lives of Siskiyou County youth and beyond come from the programs that Kidder Creek runs, and wholeheartedly believe in the potential that they could run if this project were approved. We first came to Siskiyou County in May of 2015 when my husband and his roommate College roommate at the time found Kit around Google and decided to come out from Michigan for a summer working at camp. We have since quickly fallen in love with not only the camp, but the community that surrounds it, for all the reasons that you know and love too. After 4 summers of working at camp, we moved to the area and now live in Mount Shasta since the September of 2018 because of the relationships that we developed with the community while working at Kiddo Creek. Being from the Midwest, we never would have landed in Siskiyou County had it not been for Kidder, and then become deeply involved in our community had it not been for Kidder. This has allowed us to continue to work alongside Kidder Creek in youth ministry and outreach in Siskiyou County and see the wider scope of positive impact that Kidder has on our communities and hear stories of lives that have been touched by this program ever since its conception. Over our years working in leadership roles at Kidder Creek, we have seen, been able to see firsthand the hard work and compliance and dedication that Andy, Tim, and the others have put into painstakingly and carefully considering all that goes into this use permit. From day one of staff training, the leadership harps on our respecting our neighbors. They put out speed limit signs for anxious drivers that are excited to get to camp and make sure that amplified sound is up by a certain time. There is a love and respect that both staff and visitors have for Scott Valley and Siskiyou County by their end of time at Kidder Creek. From soft serve ice cream down in Happy Camp to dining in Wairika, fun at an end of rodeo, finding a good find at a Valley Bottom garage sale, biking the Gateway Trail System in Mount Shasta, or dipping in McLeod Falls, all of these things and more are what make this area so amazing. And all of this would be available to more staff, campers, and their families if this plan were approved. Not only does camp make tremendous impact in the life of youths, but also contributes to the local economy. The impact that Kidder can and will have on our county is not just tucked away on the end of a dead-end road, it is experienced throughout this wonderful chunk of land that we call the state of Jay. Kidder Creek heart and priority has always been and will continue to be Siskiyou County and its youth, but the growth of this camp is an opportunity to reach and serve more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to transform lives for the better and expose them to the beauty that all that we've all been blessed with in Siskiyou County. Thank you.
Tony Lynn Downing, followed by Monique Monet Birch.
My name is Tony Lynn Downey. I am a born and raised Siskiyou County resident. And you've heard, and I work as an RN for our local Monroe Hospice. I am raising currently 3 wonderful teenage children. And I am thankful for Kidder because I can count on them to be a positive place for my kids to go and enjoy the outdoors and the beauty of our community. I know you've heard a lot about that today. So I'm just going to kind of list what they and many of their classmates from our Scott Valley School District have enjoyed through Kidder, attending camp, of course, day camps, house football has been hosted there, 8th grade trips during COVID years when they didn't have the option of traveling to other places, 6th grade trips, after school mountain bike programs that were created during COVID time when there was no sports available to our kids, after school horseback program. And then, of course, the great role models that they are seen by these college-age students that work in our camp, picked by Andy and his staff to kind of work there based on their character quality and their abilities. And so my kids, in turn, have been able to, even at the younger teenagers they are, put that back into the kids by playing games with Camp Hope Kids and working as staff during day camp. Younger kids that have been brought in from our local schools over the summer. And then also working in the kitchen, which employed hourly 16 local kids who were many in college and earning money to pay for their college education. So I think that has a ton of value also. It's a safe place and I can send my kids and they're gonna come home happier and with more character and desire to live life well and serve others in their lives. Many of us in this community have land that we make optimum use of for one, for its preservation, two, for the value it brings to us. And I think that Kidder Creek is trying to do that and the harvest of that is affecting more lives in our community and in the world at large. And I would just lastly encourage all of you, if you do not know Andy and Emily, the director and his wife, or have not attended an event at Kidder Creek, to try it out, whether you're a neighbor or live over here in Arvika, and really get a feel for the heart of Kidder Creek. It is a beautiful place that truly does bring a lot of hope and healing in our community. Thank you.
Lee, followed by Kim Lloyd.
Good morning, commissioners. Wow, my name is Monique Mulligay-Burt.
Whoops.
Yeah, you're pretty close. And I live at 408 East Lake Street in Mount Shasta, California. And I have been involved with Kidder for 29 years. I'm part of the Burch family that was part of the Maryland Seward generation of folks who started Kidder and saw this amazing, beautiful place and opportunity to really change and transform and grow lives here in Siskiyou County. So I've been blessed. I came as a counselor 29 years ago and have been involved ever since. I spent 14 years on the board and worked with a couple different directors over the years. And this has been a long journey. Thank you, all of you who sit here today. I will even get shaky because I've been a part of this for so long. This is a beautiful thing to be a part of. And you have such a special opportunity in the seats that you sit in. You've heard these testimonies. What an amazing testimony to generations of people. And we have an opportunity to grow that. Cheering for the children. Casey Quinn started that program years ago and has impacted the world at large. We have no time to waste on the opportunity to grow in this community, in these testimonies that you've heard this morning. So I thank you for being here. I urge you to take these stories to heart, to think sincerely about the integrity of this ministry, this organization, reaching out beyond the church, beyond our school communities, beyond children of trauma. We have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to make an impact today. Years on this journey, and we are here. This is a really special place to be. So thank you for being here. I have stories enough to write novels. You've heard many today. You've heard great testimony to the integrity of this ministry and the people who started it years ago. It is not a short story of honoring our environment and our people in our community. It is generations of people honoring both our environment and our community. And so that in and of itself, I believe, is a testimony that I hope will speak to you. The EIR report, what a massive amount of work it is. I have seen years of this and have witnessed the hard work, the integrity of all parties involved. And so we arrive at a place, hopefully coming to decision making, and we arrive at a place in our children's lives where maybe this matters more now than ever. We've talked about COVID, we've talked about social media. When kids connect and when kids have connection, our communities thrive. So let's cheer for the children. This is an opportunity we have to move forward. And so I clearly am in support of this. I clearly am in support of the history, the people, the integrity. And God's given us this opportunity to reach out far beyond. And so, thank you for being here sincerely. Some of you may be familiar with Kidder, some of you may not. But this is hard work. And I appreciate the wrestling, the rigor, and all that you folks have put into this. So thank you, and cheer for the children. I'm in support of Kidder.
Tim, followed by Jenna.
Tim Lloyd, 4320 Old Pine Court, Edna. I've worked for KCOC for 22 years, which means I was working for the camp before the merger at Mount Hermon. A number of people in the community have been critical of that merger and of Mount Hermon as an organization. I'm confident that if the merger had not happened, this camp would not be here today. The complexities and the expenses of operating a camp like this make it an impossibility to operate like we did in the past and survive. I don't think most people in this county understand the loss to this community and the culture that closing this camp would mean. Not just the loss of jobs and revenue to local businesses, but the impact these programs have on the lives of young people, as you've heard, and their families. I've been involved in camping for over 40 years, and I've yet to see another industry that impacts lives in such a positive way. People have pointed out inconsistencies in the information we've given out over the last several years. We've appreciated the feedback. These are the result of project evolution as it's moved forward. We purposely communicated with the public and the government agencies our ideas and then modified the plan accordingly to meet the different requirements or to adjust to meet concerns of the community. Kidder Creek has been and continues to be open to changes that would meet the concerns of others and accomplish our goals at the same time. We've purchased properties next to the camp to help buffer the neighbors from our activities. We've installed over 3,000 feet of fencing to keep our guests from trespassing. We've limited the use of amplified sound. We've moved activities to locations that won't disturb others. We've placed signage on the road during peak traffic times along South Kennedy, and generally have tried to be good neighbors. We've worked with a myriad of government officials and agencies to stay in compliance with the requirements that they have. And there are a lot of requirements. In the process of compiling all the reports that have been needed to be done, I've met some really amazing people. These professionals, many of whom are here today, have done an incredible job of analyzing the situation and helping us understand what needed to be done and how we could accomplish it. My thanks to them. I believe this camp and its growth is needed in this community and in the culture of Siskiyou County. I think we talked a lot about the benefits that it adds to the community. And I want to encourage you guys to consider this and to pass it. I think it's a great opportunity for this community and for the area, and I'd ask for your help in helping us to accomplish that. Thank you very much.
Jana, followed by Brian Hayes.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Jana Martin-Gliotto. I reside at 12531 Table Rock Road out in Montague. My daughters are a seventh generation family farmers out in and ranchers out in Little Shasta. By the way, I thought everyone was filling out a card. So, I wasn't planning on speaking, but I'll just briefly say that I fully support the expansion of Kidder Creek, and I hope that by what you've heard today and over the course of many months and years that you see the value in that also. Just real briefly, I was a counselor at Mount Hermon back in the 80s. Haven't seen this guy in 30-something years. And I thought that was you. That's really cool. And Mount Hermon was a very special time for me as a counselor. I counseled also at Kidder Creek. My kids have gone to camp. They it's been a very positive experience for me, and I know that you've heard lots of testimonies on that. I have been blessed to have a place that I call home that's beautiful, that has a creek, that has a lot of the outdoor experiences that kids come to camp for. So I see that I get to see the value in that every day, and I hope that those of you that you can see the value in that and the value in the expansion. I know my mom gave generously to Kidder Creek, and that was the one ministry in her estate that she gave money to, and that spoke volumes to me also. So thank you for your time, and right on.
Brian, followed by Ben Bishop.
I'm Brian Hayes. I reside at 14 Terrace Way in Mount Hermon. That's been a place where I have committed my life's work, camping ministry for over 40 years now. And you've heard today certainly the testimony of the power of camp, and we talk about that a lot. I'm currently serving as the Vice President of Finance and Administration, so get to oversee and work closely with camp operations daily, as well as the finances there. You've heard here that for 46 years, Kidd Creek's been a valuable member of this community, and I can tell you, in my working with current director and former leadership prior to that, their commitment, their heart is local. And we, as kind of the mothership, if you will, the merger partner, support that and pour and give resources to this valuable ministry annually through the operational shortfalls. Someone mentioned earlier that certainly the camper fees don't come close to covering the true cost, but Mount Hermon is so committed and believes in the mission and purpose of the work here in this county that we want to support that, and we go to great lengths to do that. In addition, we help raise campership dollars, and it's to the tune of over $100,000 a year that we pour back in so that campers and families can come to a place like this. So there is a full-fledged commitment. But one of the things I want to talk about in the merger that happened kind of in 2004, when they were looking for a partner to come alongside, that someone was fortunately Mount Hermon. It has been a wonderful partnership. I said that we believe in that. The important part of that, though, is that I want you and all to understand that first and foremost, that merger was to protect and preserve the unique character and simplicity of the camp property and purposes of the program. It wasn't about Mount Hermon coming in and doing camp their way. Great care was given to the creation of that partnership, which clearly established how the two organizations were to function. A big part of that is that it would consist of local leadership, local board leadership as well. We have one board overseeing the operation of both. It's very important that we have representatives of both communities in that. And that is a big part still that's played out today. We rely really on the wisdom and the experience of the dedicated staff who made this their calling. I mentioned for me, many in the camping industry have committed their life's work to this, and it's certainly reflected in the hearts and the daily efforts that our staff here at Kidd Creek pour back in this community, for this community, for the intention of saving and growing lives and enriching families. So I am in full support of this program, obviously, and hope that you will find that the same through these reports. Thank you very much.
Ben, followed by Pete Morrell. Yeah, I don't do this. So the fact that I'm here means that I care a lot about Kidd Creek and the people that run it. And so I provide carrier services there, and I cut trees down for Tim when they're dead and dying, which is what good landowners do. And so they're as well-run, professional outfit as could possibly be imagined in my book. And I'm just a working guy, so when the paperwork, well, I was a contract logger for over a decade, so when the paperwork and the environmental issues became too much for me, I was out. I can go shoot horses and nobody tells me, hey, there's a litter too close to that horse's foot, you're gonna have to stop. So I moved into that industry. But if we need a good example of how property should be managed, especially from an environmental standpoint, we should drive up and look at Kidd Creek. If we want to see an example of a outfit that socially impacts young people as well as adults and a community as well as they have, we should go to Kidd Creek and look for ourselves. Now I live in, I didn't say my name where I live, I've been Bishop Etna at 346 Franklin Lane. Where I sit up on the hill there, I can hear when there's a rodeo going on, if we're not there ourselves, I can hear the football games, I can hear the dances in the streets down there at Denny Bar. And, you know, I could protest that. I could be like, oh, I'm trying to sleep, you know, what the heck. But they're music to my ears. And, you know, sometimes you got to put up with that. But it's what happens in a neat and unique community like ours. If we didn't have those things, we wouldn't have what we have. And so I'm going to ask, why hasn't this been approved yet? It's too late. We should have done this years ago. When I started giving money to this project, I think at least 10 years ago, it seems like. Maybe it's been 7, I don't know. It hadn't happened yet. We need to get this through, and it needs to happen, and it should have happened already. Not to be critical. But there's a lot of illegal activities that refuse to go through this process that have continued for years, not benefited the community at all, only criminal. And they haven't tried to go through the process. This outfit's tried to go through the process to a T, and they're not approved yet.
Pete, followed by Jacob.
My name is Pete Morrill, and I'm 1521 South Philippi Lane, Montague, California. I'm a small business owner in Yreka and have a unique perspective on Kidder Creek. For 27 years, I've been the closest neighbor, one of the closest neighbors to Kidder Creek Camp on South Kidder Creek Road. I spent almost 20 years on staff. I helped orchestrate the merger with Mount Hermon and Kidder Creek, and I planned most of the expansion plan that we're reviewing. So you can blame me for this very long and redundant meeting. I personally would like to encourage Siskiyou County and its residents to support Kidder Creek's expansion plan for the following reasons. Kidder Creek has had a history of many years of helping children and families and supporting the local community. Year after year, children from Siskiyou County and elsewhere have life-changing experiences at Kidder Creek. Kidder Creek has also worked hard to make their facility and programs available to the community in community-based as well as faith-based programs. Groups like DARE, California Search and Rescue, Siskiyou County Outdoor School, Aetna High Grad, PAL Soccer, Camp Hope, and many, many more programs have been welcomed to the Kidder Creek property. Kidder Creek has a positive impact on the local community by providing jobs and bringing outside dollars to the local area. Kidder Creek has tried hard and gone to significant expenses to work with the local government agencies to make sure Kidder Creek's plan is environmentally friendly and has minimal impact on the neighbors. Kidder Creek has taken the time to listen to the neighbors and their concerns and has tried hard to mitigate the issues that seem in conflict with the local area. Kidder Creek has strategically purchased property that will buffer their program from negatively impacting the neighbors. I'd like to correct some errors that I've heard thrown around. Kidder Creek is in partnership with Mount Hermon Christian Conference Center in Santa Cruz. Both are nonprofit organizations that struggle to stay in the black every year. Both are run by employees that are underpaid compared to people who hold similar positions in the business world. There are no individuals or organizations that profit from the revenue generated by the programs by law. Both have budgets that depend on donors to keep them afloat. In other words, absolutely no one is getting rich because of this expansion plan. I believe Kidder Creek's expansion plan is good for Siskiyou County, it's good for the community, and most important, it's good for the kids. Thank you.
Good. Jacob.
I'm reading for Jacob Najah and Jamie Allen, principal of what represents four public schools at 1420 Delphic Road. I have a few bullet points here that they wanted me to share. They both sent students to the sixth grade outdoor school with Christian Birch. They also, this summer, were able to start a new day camp program that ran for 6 weeks due to a grant that they received. So they were able to send kids from all four of those schools out to the camp for the summer for a day camp program. For 6 weeks, they were invited to come each day. It was a really great partnership with Jacob there most of the days. And it was really great to see the kids not at home and on their screens, but together in community, in a beautiful place, with kind staff, with a values-based curriculum, and it was an amazing enrichment time, with time for swimming, climbing, and archery, and they support the expansion.
Okay, that was the last written comment part in person that I had in front of me. So if we can change the screen but don't lose the timer, are there any hands on Zoom to speak in favor of the project?
Not sure about this one. Do you want me to see?
If you'll lower your cursor for a minute. The individual is... Whoa. Hands down. Okay. So the individual with phone number 1-520-456-7984, are you requesting to speak in support? If so, unmute and say I do. I am hearing nothing. Oh. Are you wishing to speak in support? Going once? Twice?
I'm here to volunteer for you to vote.
Yes, we are hearing the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp project proposal. Are you wishing to speak in support? Are there any others wishing to speak in support? Okay, I see no hands. We will now move into item H. So these are individuals wishing to speak in opposition. We'll do the same process as we did for support. I will call one to the stand. Second to the chair, please. First up will be Dee Jones, followed by Melinda Perlman.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Elizabeth Dee Jones. I reside at 711 South Kidder Creek Road, Preview. I have lived at that address for 18 years. My home sits about 150 feet back from the road. I have lost pets to traffic. I have seen speeding cars and buses and trailers hauling campers and horses and all manner of watercraft. I'm very concerned about the traffic. The camp's own study says 1,200 to 1,800 cars per day in front of my house when the camp is in full operation at its 844 max capacity. I also question the capacity number. Somehow 165 morphed into 310 over the years without challenge or representation for the citizenry from our very county, whose job it is to protect its citizens. I am concerned that the 844 has been referred to as guests in several of the printed documents. Will the same fuzzy math be used in that equation? This concerns me. It's not a 844 guests. It's my understanding that it should have been 184 total people in the camp at any time. I urge you to look more carefully at that number. Additionally, I am very concerned about the quality of our water. No one has really addressed any on-site water treatment other than to say that there will be septic above me, and we know what that means. It's going to run downhill. What's that going to do to my well? No one's really addressed that. I mean, they say that the soil will perk, but above that, is there a concern for pollution? I haven't seen that addressed. It seems to me that there are several gaps in the plan that have just been waved away as if they didn't really matter, such as the noise issue. It's not going to be a quiet neighborhood. It's not a quiet neighborhood now. Please, I urge you, take a second look, and Mr. Commissioner Fowle, I have a question for you. Will you be recusing yourself from the decision-making process based on some information that has come to light regarding your participation?
Short answer, no. Next to speak will be Melinda Perlman, followed by Freda Walker.
Hi, I'm Melinda Perlman. I live at 109 South Cedar Creek Road for 31 years. I want to address the traffic. I am closer to the road than he is. There are also several other neighbors in the subdivision here, and several other the traffic projection is 1,500 to 1,800 cars per day, year round. How is this happening on a road that is a mile and a half long to 18 to 20 feet wide, with all of these neighbors living all around it? It empties out at Highway 3, so on big days, I would imagine Highway 3 might even be impacted when people are leaving for lots of long. The numbers are insane as far as I don't know how you can say that this is safe for anyone. The water. The project will enable Kidder Creek to become a small city that will be larger than that of Fort Jones. The camp will be operating in the summers. Even though the California State Water Board has put restrictions on our valley ranchers due to drought, the amount of water that this camp will use is phenomenal. At the time of the worst drought we've ever known, the project does not address what issues the 200 to 300 nearest neighbors will deal with as 844 people use various facilities. Use of surface groundwater as proposed will dewater flows in Kidder Creek. Will the neighbors' wells go dry? No guarantee is there. The thing I'm the most concerned about is fire. It's not if, but when there is a fire that the camp has to deal with. Can you imagine how 844 people, their vehicles, horse trailers, buses, and whatever, will make it down this road to escape with that much traffic? The subdivision is above this area. Will those people even get out to escape? There is supposed to be a second fire exit. It has not been built yet. We thought it was, but then camp said they're waiting to see if the EIR passes before they do that. There's already been an increase in people. This is current endangerment. I don't understand, and I do not approve of this project. It's flawed procedurally as well, and I do hope that you will go back to the drawing board and represent all of the people. This is not about what Clear Camp does, and it's not about religion. Thank you.
Freda, followed by Larry Brown.
Good afternoon. Is it afternoon yet? Anyway, my name is Freda Walker, and I have lived in Scott Valley since 1973. I currently live at 5415 South Kidder Creek. I support the mission of the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp. I believe that they have done a lot of good for our community. I'm opposed to the expansion, and it is submitted in its current form. I really appreciate knowing what some of the conditions are being considered for the approval of this expansion. I see that there are conditions numbered, but I don't know what they are. I believe that a lower occupancy number is a condition that would really help lessen the impacts on traffic, water, and fire safety. I have learned or have heard that the camp is willing to have a lesser occupancy number as a condition. And I heard that number is 622. but I still feel that it's a lot of people to have up at the end of the road in relation to fire and safety and traffic. One of the things that concerns me about fire is getting people out of the camp. And for the actual people that are working at the camp and participating, will there be vehicles on site at all times for all participants that are there? Because do we have time for other vehicles to come in and transport people out? And if we look at the way fires are raging and how fast they move, I don't believe that waiting on a bus or vans or horse trailers to get in and take 50 horses and 622 campers out. Let's see, one of the things about the traffic is that I know that it can meet the state, you know, rules or about the road, Kidder Creek Road, but it's a rural county road for many people who live on it. They enjoy walking on it, they enjoy walking their dogs, they enjoy actually weeding all along that road, doing some weed things, and it just makes it more dangerous for all of us that live there. In relation to water and reading the water, you know, impact statement, it said that there would not be impact to water, and yet when I look at all the vegetation, the trees, and the behavior of animals on Kidder Creek, you know, drainage area, there is an impact already. And we know that the snowpack is going to continue to decrease. It doesn't come as it did in the wintertime where it freezes and provides water in the summer. So that's a big issue for me. Anyway, I'd like to know when conditions are going to be determined, when the public will hear about the conditions that you might have to approve this, you know, look at approving this application. And anyway, I appreciate your time and support. Thank you.
Larry.
Hello, my name is Larry Brown. I live at 1024 North Kidder Creek Road. We recently purchased a property just down the road at 1376 North Kidder Creek Road. And it's, anyway, the North designation is one of those things. But as crow flies, I'm about a mile from the camp. And I have some interesting concerns, a little bit different. I am with Freda. I am not opposed to the work that the camp does. I have personally volunteered there at the camp and helped put in bike trail. The problem is the size and scope of the development. And I do not believe that it is in the spirit of the Scott Valley area plan. I think that the organization does a great job. I am not opposed to it. It is the size of the expansion. And those of us that live close by really think about that. When my father was a minister, I benefited from going to a church camp in Santa Cruz that serviced the Bay Area. This is not the Bay Area. Santa Cruz is a place that can handle the numbers of people we are talking about, not Scott Valley. Many people moved here, as you all know, to live in a rural area. If this plan goes through as proposed, this will no longer be the place that they wanted to live in, including me. I am a newcomer. I have only lived here for 33 years. The narrow road going up South Kidder Creek Road, I took a trailer up last week. This was a small trailer. I could make it up fine. If other people were coming in the other direction, one of us would have had to pull over. Plus, the creek comes all the way up to the road. There's a ditch on the right-hand side and a cliff. Now, you were going to have people talk about how they can fix roads. I'd like to know how that one can be fixed. I would like you all to imagine that this development is up from your home. I know many of the people that have spoke here. I know Janet is one of them. I don't know of anyone that I've talked to that would like to see 600 to 1,000 cars go by their home in the middle of summer. If I'm wrong, please correct me. I'm against the rezoning, and I hope that you will look at all sides of this and consider people that have lived here for a very long time. Thank you.
That was the last in person.
Yes, I also have a letter that was asked to be read as part of this meeting. Would you like me to do that now or after we
support opposition?
Opposition.
Go ahead and read it at this time.
This letter is from Felice Pace, and I'm going to go ahead and start the time over. Commissioners, these comments are on behalf of myself as a Scott Valley landowner as well as water chair for the North Group Redwood Chapter Sierra Club. In my June 9, 2022 comments for myself as a Scott Valley landowner and as water chair for the North Group Redwood Chapter Sierra Club, I addressed several issues that are not adequately analyzed and disclosed in the DEIR, including how the proposed project would impact groundwater and nearby drinking water wells. In this letter, however, I focus on only one of those issues, that is, impacts to flows in Kidder Creek and Scott River and the resulting take of California ESA-listed coho salmon and California ESA candidate species Chinook salmon. Because water use is directly related to the number of persons permitted to occupy the camp, any increase in the number of persons permitted to occupy the campsite will result in additional take of coho and Chinook salmon in Kidder Creek and in Scott River. In other words, from a water stream flow and salmon CESA perspective, there is no water available for any expansion of water use at the KCOC location. That includes both surface water and groundwater, because groundwater in that area and in Scott Valley generally is closely interconnected with surface flows. The reason no additional water use is legal is that any substantial increase in surface or groundwater use is certain to increase the number of days when Kidder Creek in the vicinity of the KCOC is dewatered, and that will increase the number of coho and Chinook salmon that are stranded and die each and every year. In that way, increased water use as proposed by Mount Hermon / KCOC directly results in violation of the California and federal ESA statutes. If Siskiyou County approves the proposed zone change in use permit, the county will be implicated in the take of California and federal ESA listed species that are culturally and economically important to several federal tribes, as well as to commercial and sport salmon fishermen. You, as citizen commissioners, should not put Siskiyou County in a position of social conflict and legal jeopardy by approving the proposed project. Take in violation of the California and federal ESA statutes would result from both the proposed use of surface water and the proposed uses of groundwater. Water taken from the flow of Kidder Creek is the source proposed to build and maintain the 7-acre lake proposed for the expanded development. That in itself will result in take of coho and Chinook salmon and steelhead trout by extending the time each year when Kidder Creek is dewatered, leaving many fish stranded. Groundwater is the source proposed for vastly expanding KCOC occupancy and use to 844 persons, including 21 hookups for large RVs. The expansion is mostly to accommodate adult uses. The youth camp development would not substantially increase. Because groundwater in this area is closely interconnected with Kidder Creek flows, the proposed groundwater use would independently result in the take of...
Do we have copies that you can share with the commissioners of that letter? Oh, it's the same one we have here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're good. Okay, so if we look online, I see two hands raised. So this is the time if you are speaking in opposition. We will begin with the phone number 520-456-7984. Go ahead and unmute, please. You may begin.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Commission. How are you doing? I live at 3521 North Kidder Creek Road. I want to say you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody that applauds anything to say about camp and what they do. I'm not surprised. We have all these folks who have called in, advocating for the project. And camps are great. I went to church camps growing up. I know what good they can serve. However, I'm here today as someone that is one of the probably 20 or 30 households that are directly impacted by the noise that's made there at the camp. And I think that's something that
lot of these folks are calling in from, you know, other places, you know, geographically, other towns or states, and talking about their experiences with this camp. I'm sure there's no doubt it was awesome, but to be there and want to have peace and quiet, which is why I live there, we've been impacted by the noise. And it is what it is at this point. It's unavoidable where it is right now because we are where we are. We allow things to do what we do. But what is unavoidable is increasing that impact that's being caused to all the residents there nearby by allowing this to happen. It impedes on our ability to enjoy nature, and you know, if there's some way to confirm and guarantee the noise is going to happen after 9 p.m. every night, I'd be on board. That's not what happens out there. But it does get rowdy, and more people, more noise. It's concerning the lack of, I feel like you sought out from those residents to gauge, you know, how they feel about this project. I don't know what level of outreach you have conducted, but from what I can see, a lot of neighbors there are blindsided by this and don't understand the scope of it. And I really think you guys need to take a step back, do some more outreach, a public forum or something, let people know what's going on. Then we'll have ourselves represented more actively here, because we're all impacted by it. You know, I know it benefits the community a little bit, but not really. I mean, it benefits the youth. The local businesses make a little money, but I mean, this organization, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't pay state or federal taxes. So where does that, what we're allowing them to do, come back and benefit the community as a whole? Not just the youth that want to go to camp, not just the corporate retreats that are going to come, so the special events that are going to be, you know, rent out for. This is more than just a church camp, and I think people are failing to understand that. But, you know, the scope of what they're going to do out there and the services that they're going to provide are going to expand. And it's not just for kids, you know, all kinds of people. And it's not why we want to live there. We already deal with this noise. It's great for the kids, you know, but now we're going to increase that. You know, it feels like it's in my backyard, basically. And it's sad that someone mentioned, I don't know if there's any fact that come on the commission somehow associated with this group, and we're asked to recuse themselves. I don't know if that's the case. I really would hope not, because we know this would be a can of worms, right? I think we need to do more outreach in the community to find out what the residents feel about this. Thank you.
Can you get the name? Sir, what was your name?
Whoops, hold on. I muted him, so.
Tell him to speak clearly and slowly.
Yeah,
I couldn't
slowly
understand
and
him.
Clearly for the name of the last speaker. I heard Kidder Creek Road. I did not get an address.
Can we get your name and address if you can spell your name and speak it clearly, please?
I'm sorry, Eddie Dealey.
And how do you spell that?
D-E-H-L-L-B-E-H-L-E. Okay. I live at 3524 North Deer Creek Road.
Thank you. The next will be 1-530-598-2131. Unmute.
Yes, this is Ann Marsh, 4628 Pinecone Drive, Edmond, California. I'm sure you can hear me. I want you to know that this meeting is being held in violation of CEQA for many reasons. It should have the planning public hearing should never have been opened. I would like to refute what Haley Lang said about the 20-year plan, and oh, there's nothing to see here because nobody's going to be impacted. There is no 20-year plan. Unless it's written into a conditional use permit, which I have not seen, everything that's in this proposal will be done when it is approved, or could be done. I also would like to say that the staff report states that Mount Hermon is the owner of the property. That fact was refuted by the Siskiyou County Assessor Reporter's Office yesterday. Title is still held by Kidder Creek Orchard Camp Incorporated. As far as noise and traffic, the neighbors bought their homes for quiet, solitude, and peace. The laughter from their own family and friends may be acceptable, but the laughter and noise from other people is not. As far as the integrity and good neighborship that have been extolled so much in this meeting, I would say that there is no integrity. The camps build out their cabins and increase their occupancy prior to the use permit being approved. What kind of integrity is that? And also, they created their plan, placing the road, the pond, the 7-acre pond, the welcome center, where they would most negatively impact a close neighbor. What kind of good neighborship is that? And thirdly, they haven't improved the required second access road when they could have been burned out by either the Shackleford Creek fire or the McKinney fire. That's a requirement. And as far as mitigation measures, they totally failed to meet the mitigation measure that requires them to make that road available prior to any build out. And in conclusion, they state that they want to meet their goals. Yeah, well, we moved here to meet our goals. My goal is solitude, peace, and quiet, and I don't want to hear amplified noise from two amphitheaters impacting me, my home, or my friends. And that's exactly what this project will do. It's not in compliance with CEQA. The DIR is totally inadequate and flawed, and the project should be denied. Thank you.
Do you have any questions before I meet Ms. Marsh?
Any other call-ins that wish to speak in opposition? Raise your hand if so.
Seeing none.
Seeing none. We will move in to comments by individuals, neither for nor against, comments in general relative to KCOC project. Seeing none, any online wishing to have comments, neither for nor against, but related to the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp project? So, raise your hand. Seeing none. Project proponent at this time is given an opportunity to present rebuttal. And I have six sheets here. But you all probably have some kind of order you would like to address these. So at this time, I will let you simply come up according to how you wish to address, just make sure you give your name clearly, please.
Maybe just Lauren Chilson, Head of Transportation, just maybe as a matter of procedure. I'm not here on to speak as a rebuttal, but as a technical expert. If you'd like me to give you a summary of the traffic study, I'd be happy to do that. But how you want to look at the process is up to you. I would be happy to make a presentation.
Okay, so you're here for commission questions related to the traffic.
Correct, as part of the consulting team hired by the county. So
okay.
I don't know how you would fit that in, but I'd be happy to make a presentation.
Then we'll have you hang on. So this is the time for project proponents to rebut. All right. You, sir.
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Paul Butler with Butler Acoustical Consultants, and our office is in Auburn, California. And I am part of the consulting team. I'm neither for nor opposed to the project. And I'm also here to answer any questions that you have. Just preemptively, I would like to say that we understand the neighbors have concerns about noise. We did our level best to analyze noise from all aspects of the project. You're going to be seeing a very lengthy comment letter on noise that took a very long amount of time to respond to. that will probably be addressed at the final EIR hearing. But there were comments provided to all of the noise-related, responses provided to all of the noise-related comments that came up. So with that, I don't actually have a presentation or anything else to say, but if you have questions, I'd be happy to try and address them. Thank you.
Okay. I please hear Paul and Lauren. We still have Chris, Glenn, Larry, Alexander, and Jamie Allen. Do any of you at this time wish to come down to add anything in terms of rebuttal, or are you here also for Q&A as they come up?
Q&A.
Yeah, I see Larry nodding his head at Q&A.
Correct.
We can do, so I'm representing the wastewater feasibility information and the pond evaporation information. So however you guys would like that, I can summarize the main points of the studies and then rebut items that have come up so far, if you like, either way.
Okay, we'll see what the feeling of the commission is, and if the commission's content, we can, if there's no rebuttal, and we have one rebuttal, okay.
Yes, so just speaking for the camp.
Name again, please.
Andy, 2333 South Kidd Creek Road. Just speaking for the camp, some of the questions that were brought up in regards to the EIR and the due diligence that was performed there, we brought our experts here to answer some of those questions on our behalf or on the county's behalf in regards to some of those questions. There is, I think that you've heard a lot of communication from the proponents today that's kind of spoke in, that brought into question, from the opponents, I'm sorry, brought into question some of those things. I just want to say that we have been working directly with the county for many years. Tim specifically has been a part of that process. And so we're ready to answer questions from the commission as those come.
Mr. Chairman and Commission, my name is Glenn Pearson, and I live at 20840 Live Oak Road, Red Bluff. I guess I have to say California. Red Bluff is the only Red Bluff in the United States, but anyway. I'm a professional geologist in the state of California. I'm a certified engineering geologist as well. And I wrote the groundwater surface water interaction. I'm here to answer questions by the commission, but I also want to say that I do rebut the statements made about groundwater availability. Working in the groundwater industry for almost 50 years. A lot of experience with the Department of Water Resources and also taught at Chico State. We can go over that later. But I'm here and for you to just grill my brain. Okay?
All right, thank you. Okay, any other rebuttal or introduction of expert witnesses, experts, any subject matter?
Yes, I'm Chris Cummings, professional engineer, responsible for the wastewater feasibility study and then the pond evaporation study. And we just had one comment that I wanted to rebut regarding the likelihood of potential for the septic system, conventional septic systems on site to contaminate distant areas outside of camp. In looking at design and functionality of conventional septic systems, as you guys are probably aware, the soil and the depth of soil are key factors. So the soil type and depth found in the test pits that we dug, that's noted in the study, they're not conducive of lateral transfer of the soil. So we need a permeable layer. We need other mechanisms regarding soil type to be able to laterally transfer contaminated water very far, as you guys are aware. The same is true in respect to contamination of groundwater. When we have sufficient depth of quality soil for leaching, the biological process will eliminate contamination after a certain depth. And so our test pits went down 6 feet and more, as you see in the report. And we have homogeneous, continuous soil that's conducive for standard septic systems. So it's very unlikely and, in fact, really impossible. And demonstrated by the existing well on site that gets tested and the existing septic systems as far as their performance throughout the past. So it will be just perpetuation of those conventional systems that have been used for years successfully. So that's demonstrating the success in the future. With the exception of the higher amounts of material that would need pre-treatment for the dining facility. So dining facility would have more BOD, biological oxygen demand, total suspended solids, and the fats, oils, and greases, which the two systems that I mentioned that are manufactured in my report will amply handle and are commonly used. So that's why the proposed septic solutions and systems that are mentioned in my report are vital.
Thank you. All right. So any other rebuttal? Then we will, and I'll be very clear on this, we're going to close for today the public hearing. But as I stated earlier, since this is still a draft EIR, we will be continuing this to our September meeting, at which time public testimony may still be given, even though at this point for today, I am closing public testimony. Make sure everybody's clear on that. The next phase of this is to allow time for the commissioners to ask questions of the individuals who have introduced themselves for representing the noise, water quality, etc. So at this time, commissioners, whoever would like to go first.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're on.
Okay. First of all, the fact that this is going to be a 20-year build-out, each and everything that's going to be done is going to have to be permitted. All we're addressing here today is the expansion and the zone change.
Get closer to the microphone.
Pull it up closer.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The fact that this is going to be a 20-year plan, whenever the things that are going to be done, we each have to be permitted. So that is going to give the opportunity for people to comment. Secondly, I would like somebody to explain to me what industrial recreation use is. Thank you. My children both went to Kidder Creek. I worked for a school district for 15 years, and every student in the 7th and 8th grade each year went to Kidder Creek. If a student was not able to pay the fee, staff provided that money. It didn't matter whether it was 1 or 10, we paid it. We together paid it. Through the chair at this time, that's all I have. I got to check my notes for one more thing.
Okay. Commissioner Hart, Commissioner Beal.
I have some comments on mitigation measures. Do you want to go through those
comments? By all means, this is our time to ask questions.
Okay.
Perhaps, and then the pleasure of the commission.
Procedurally, when the environmental impact report came to the county, I assume you reviewed it and either had comments in or
did listen. Did you do that in consulting with the firm that prepared the environment, or did it let did they present and then you accepted it as it was?
Well, Commissioner Bill, that was a work in progress since the comments were received, and the staff has worked with the consultant T4 to develop mitigation measures.
Because there's some of these here that I think are really hard to manage and maybe a little over the top. And one in particular, this is on page 16, mitigation measure, and it's exposure of persons to generation noise levels excessive standards established local general plan for noise ordinances for applicable standard the agency. And so you've got during the project, development construction activity shall be limited to 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. That's kind of standard in the industry, I know. And then you've got two different times for Saturday. But then it goes on to say construction activity shall be prohibited on Sunday and federal holiday. And what bothers me, I don't know that Mount Herman needs to know what day of rest to incorporate. But I guess you've accepted the fact that they're going to stipulate that Sunday is the day of rest for the construction work. Is that what I understand?
This time I'd like to invite Mr. Baller up here to address that question.
That step is a little bit higher than the previous. So it's my understanding that the mitigation measure specifies which days construction, which hours construction can occur. I might need a little bit of an assist here, but I don't know if it specifically prohibits construction on Sunday. That's my understanding. So no construction on Sunday or federal holidays.
It says construction activities are prohibited on Sunday.
Correct. So there's no construction allowed on Sunday. They're prohibited on Sundays and federal holidays. Yes.
And that's my problem, is that in construction, sometimes you don't look at the calendar, you look at the weather, and you may have to perform construction on holidays and Sundays. If you came to Wairika, you saw the construction going on. I guarantee you the people living in Wairika would like to have that done just as soon as possible. They can get that account. But here you determine that you won't do it on federal holiday or Sunday. And who do you gather that from that was the days that we won't do the construction?
So that's fairly standard industry language. I'm not saying it can't be modified, but it is fairly standard, so that it gives people at least one weekend day when they would not be subject to construction. Now, it is also understood that under certain conditions, construction is necessary. For example, if there's a heat wave, you might have to pour concrete a little bit earlier in the day or what have you. So perhaps there could be some kind of a stipulation that says in the case of an emergency or a special circumstance that construction could be allowed on those days, but it was really included that providing the day.
So what if you left this out of the mitigating measure? What would be the problem? What would be the downfall on that?
Presumably, it would just allow construction to occur over the entire weekend period if that measure was eliminated. I'm not saying construction would occur during that period, but it would permit it to occur.
But it wouldn't involve any environmental disturbance.
It's more of a sort of an industry standard nuisance avoidance type policy. It's just sort of a compromise between days we can provide construction and days we have no construction.
I know that the asphalt plant was created over here in Wairika, and they wanted to know some of these, and that was, I think, said prohibited because of the blue law, and we don't recognize blue. Is that the case?
I'm not familiar with the blue law. Just in general, this mitigation is in place on behalf of the neighbors and the community so that they would have a day of rest and noise generated from construction on school federal holidays and also on Monday of the week, and which is Sunday.
I guess I have a problem with the government telling the private industry society when you can do construction and what day you choose, which you can't do. I just think Herman could decide that.
I can fully understand the government stepping in and making all those determinations. Essentially, it's a concern of the neighborhood, and it's a standard thing that's done throughout most areas.
And then it says that they're going to have to, it's going to be incorporated in the building permit, if those days are.
It would be noted on the building permit, yes. Yeah. Construction not going to be on.
Okay, but you don't need, that's something new, correct?
It's a condition. It's,
no, I asked. I asked.
You don't do that for folks that have a building on. You're correct.
Or any other? Do you do that on larger construction projects?
Let me just clarify. Typically, building permits will be issued on the minister. You don't go through the CEQA process of this particular project either. So going through the CEQA process, there's the opportunity to take input and mitigations are derived based on the input. In this case, the consultants and also E4, along with Bauer, who is the noise inspector, provided this mitigation needs within the plan as they saw it to be reasonable thing to do.
Before you ask, did you have a comment directly related to this or something
yes.
different?
I worked construction for a number of years, and if you were in, like in the city of Mount Shasta, no concrete pouring blob 24/7. If it was hot and you had the pour, you went around to the neighbors and told them you were going to do it. There was never an issue in my personal experience. As for the federal holidays, I worked for a construction company that was using federal funds and state funds to build a school. What you were just talking about was in the contract. We did not work on federal holidays, and there was no work on Sunday. And I don't know if that was a union thing or whatever, a government thing or what. So.
Now that experience is noted, and I do think there needs to be some flexibility if you're doing something that is weather sensitive, that couldn't be done, you know, within the normal construction days. But it's just sort of an industry standard practice.
Right.
So I have one question on this, and I'll let you run down your list. So whether this is to Haley or to Bill, we do or do not have flexibility for construction outside the delineated limitations. For example, looking at it, perhaps should it go forward, if during the construction of the pond and enlarging it to whatever size, ultimately, if it's approved, deemed to be, and we have one of our summer thunder bumpers come in that drops 3 inches of rain and it happens to be on a Sunday, do we have a legal mechanism to allow recovery and prevention of potential significant erosion? Or are our hands tied, are their hands tied to not being able to be preventative?
I wanted to offer a more general comment first when we're talking about just mitigation issues. As you may see in the staff report, and as with any of these mitigation measures, they're all addressing significant environmental issues. The noise from the exposure for construction is listed as significant. The mitigation measures can reduce it to these hours, and that makes it less significant. So I don't think anybody's talking about removing it wholly, but if we were to remove it wholly, then suddenly we would suddenly have a significant environmental impact. And so that is a concern, and to the extent that we might be, sorry to be somewhat right,
he addressed, to the extent he might be addressing mitigation measures and listing them, we probably do want to ask the consultants or the project proponents whether that effect might then result in a significant environmental effect, which we don't want, because in order to approve the project ultimately, either everything has to be reduced to less than significant in terms of environmental impact, or that there, if we can't do it, that there is an overriding concern allowing us to do that. So in short, I'm saying when we adjust these measures, we have to make sure we aren't putting them into the significant environmental impact category again. To answer your more specific question, I don't know, it might be better question for Rick or Haley in terms of emergency building permits perhaps, or some emergency measure. I'm not aware of them, but I don't regularly deal with building permits on a daily basis, so I'm not aware of a mechanism.
Rick, Haley?
I just want to know really quickly, we also have Mike Martin on the call, and he's the project manager for E-Corp, so he's the one that assisted in writing the administration draft. If you guys have more specific mitigation measure questions for him, I just wanted to note that.
Thank you.
I have some feedback too.
Okay. On this topic, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so as a civil engineer, I would have some oversight of the construction process and aiding in developing contracts for, so because this was private dollars, it's a lot like home building, but in mentioning state and federal, I worked with Caltrans for years, those are state and federal specifications to allow the movement of traffic and goods, so people can plan on doing some function that would otherwise be interrupted by the construction. On a Sunday, they could decide to do, you know, get through on a Sunday, or they're traveling, less impact to the traveling public. In this case, significant or not significant determination based on the length of disturbance or noise may be reasonable or not reasonable. That's a decision to be made. But what I'd like to say is that contractors don't want to work 7 days a week, because it breaks their, it tires the staff out. They have to pay a lot of overtime and they can't be profitable as profitable. So the natural mechanism is contractor control, where they're gonna primarily be working 5 days a week, and it's automatically controlled by overtime. So to say that the issue has to be driven by a specification, so it's not significant, I think may be a little bit inaccurate. It's already controlled by the cost to do business, okay? So if the contractor needs to control, and they need to have control of the means and methods of construction and the time that they put because of stormwater issues, there's so many requirements put on the contractor during construction that they need to have control of that, so that they have to, they can make decisions on being able to take care of the highest need issues. If it's stormwater, if it's maybe the plant broke down these other days, and maybe now the staff.
How many contractors usually observe federal holidays during a construction project?
Yeah, not federal holidays, holidays, but you don't see a lot of contractors working on Saturdays and Sundays that build houses, as an example.
No, I understand.
Yeah, and that's controlled, right? Yeah.
But sometimes it's more advantageous to get in and get the job done.
That's right.
And get down the road rather than drag.
And oftentimes we get comments from the neighbors that they'd like it to be done sooner.
Right.
So now they have a choice of working out.
Yeah.
So.
That's my point. I guess we leave it in, but I think it's a shame that we have to tell the Bitter Creek that Sunday is the day of rest.
If there is a way to basically mention that the contractors control themselves due to cost and don't typically work 7 days a week, and that's the observation, and that's the actual practice, then that may alleviate the significant versus less significant.
This was the Seventh-day Adventist project versus the Methodist project. Would you view Saturday as a day rate?
You don't see that. You don't see that happening in federal contracts or state contracts. Yeah. This would be private, all private contract. Yeah.
My question was, if it were a Seventh-day Adventist project versus a Methodist project, would you have Saturday as a day rate?
Only if the owner that put out the contract determined that and wanted it. Only in that case. Only if the owner wanted it, because they're paying the money. So it has to be.
So the owner requested it as a Sunday day?
No.
But you requested?
No, I don't know where it came from. We'd have to.
You have other questions?
I do, but it's on the condition of the mitigation there.
That's fine.
I'll start on number 18, which is no fireworks or campfires shall be utilized on site unless otherwise approved by the planning commission. Is that what you want that one?
I saw that too. That sounds like more administrative, or are we going to have to, if we pass this, will we be getting requests now for campfires as a planning commission? It seems like an administrative issue. Or a Cal Fire, or Matt Parker at Natural Resources.
Well,
not us.
18.
Number 18?
Yes, condition 18.
Okay. Where's it now? So the maintenance facility? Is that,
no.
Another campfire condition.
Campfire and fireworks.
Fireworks.
Fireworks or campfire.
Three.
Yeah, it's three of three towards the back third.
I can speak to that.
Halfway down, page three of three.
I want to get his answer because they wrote this and it involves us making a decision on fire, which that's not this. That's either administrative, Cal Fire, Natural Resources for the county. Otherwise, every time you want to have a campfire, you've got to come back here if we approve this and ask for our permission. Campfires don't need to necessarily wait 30 days before they get approved. That's my point.
Yeah, point taken regarding that condition would be better in the hands of Cal Fire or the fire department, local fire.
Right across that condition.
So we need to make a amendment to that condition. Would staff recommend that it be administrative planning or that it be approved by Cal Fire Chief Nasir for Kidder Creek, who would be out of Fort Jones?
Yeah, like the local fire jurisdiction would be that.
Essentially a fire permit for ag burning, outdoor burning, etc., correct?
Yeah, and also fireworks.
Okay.
Is that what you normally do?
We currently use the Forest Service restrictions, so if they're allowing campfires in the Forest Service campgrounds and established fire pits, then we will continue to have established fire pits that we use. For the fireworks, we plan those for 4th of July celebration when the campers are there. The last 2 years, those have been restricted by the county, and so we just use those as our guidelines for both of those items.
Okay, so do you actually go through a fire permitting process with U.S. Forest Service?
We have, that's a separate, that we use that as our guideline. We have a Forest Service permit for backcountry fires,
correct,
but not for the camp. We just use the guideline. When they restrict fires in their campgrounds, that's when we would restrict fires in our campgrounds.
Okay.
Yes.
What about this?
Strike it
or amend it?
Amend the whole thing.
Strike number 18 from the strike planning commission, or make it change planning commission to U.S. Forest Service or Cal Fire permitting and/or recommendation guidance.
And may I interrupt for a moment? The condition I'm looking at, we're talking about condition number 18 of the resolution. It says the planning department, not the planning commission. But in either case, I think staff would be fine and happy to amend it to read, no fireworks or campfires shall be utilized on site unless otherwise approved by the local fire jurisdiction.
You guys good with that?
Yes.
You good with that? Okay. Let the record show the amendment. I'll try to keep a note of these. This is condition 18. Okay, other questions, Commissioner Beal?
No, I have no more for this.
Commissioner Hart?
It's going to take about 2 hours. Are you going to have lunch? I got a pile of stuff.
The time is 12:22. What did I tell you? About 12:30, we'll be having a
I don't want to start into this and then stop, so let's stop.
So, it has been requested by Commissioner Hart, and I will ask Commissioners Beal and Mello, are we good to take a 1 hour break and then reconvene?
And so, when we start, I would like staff and council to walk us through, and the people here, about what our process is. What are our guidelines and our boundaries in dealing with rules and regulations, general plan, Scott Valley area plan, the stuff that's handed down in government code, regulations coming from Cal Fire, Cal Fish and Game, Regional Water Quality Control, and the State Water Board, and with traffic with California Department of Transportation. Because there are certain things we can do, and there are certain things we cannot do. We are bound by law. This is what we have to do. Okay?
Okay.
I'm all over the board.
All right. So the current time is 12:23. We will reconvene. I'll give an extra 7 minutes at 2:30.
2:30 or 1:30?
Oh, sorry. 1:30. 1:30.
I'm